The Hard Shoulder.
With Nissan. Number one for petrol in Ireland. Number one for electric. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
This is News Talk.
It's a pleasure now to welcome to the Hard Shoulder studio the man who would be Taoiseach. I'm referring to the Leader of the Opposition, the Fianna Fáil leader, a man who's held very many ministries in terms of Bertie Ahern's administrations and Brian Cowan's. He was Minister for Foreign Affairs, Minister for Health at the time of the smoking ban, at the time of the setting up of the HSE, and of course Minister for Trade and Commerce, amongst other ministries, and education as well. So he's been around the block. He's a TD for Cork Central. But one of the things that he has achieved, which has never happened before in his political history, which is that there's been this competitive rivalry between him and his constituency colleague Michael McGrath. And the great news is, for the Martin clan and the McGrath clan, they have now united to nobble Billy Kelleher at the convention for Ireland South. You're most welcome, Micheál. We'll come back to that standing joke, how Billy Kelleher has driven you both together, and your comments in the Evening Echo this evening. But let's start perhaps in terms of the biggest issue. If I was to attend a common meeting, not to speak of City West this weekend, when people are gathered together over a cup of tea or in the bar, they will talk about the confidence and supply agreement. Could I just ask you to first of all clarify, because you know there was a round one of it, there was a negotiated, you remember, in Killarney, and different discussions then about a renewal of it. And then you said, well, look, as long as Brexit is in the frame, and some people said it was up to June 2020, it's covered. Others said it was for another budget. My simple question is this. Under the terms and conditions that you've agreed, when does it end?
Well, it was very clear. I stated in the Dáil on the record in December that we were prepared, because of Brexit and the existential threat that Brexit represents for Irish jobs, businesses and so on, that we were prepared to give the government space for 2019 and to facilitate a budget in the autumn, but that there would be an election in early 2020. And that's what I said. And if you go back over the speech that I gave in December to the Dáil, I detailed our huge dissatisfaction with the government on housing, on health, and the failure to introduce broadband, and a whole range of other issues, and the fundamental lack of delivery in terms of promises made and not realised. But I said, Brexit, it was quite chaotic in Westminster at the time. It was actually, my speech was given, I think, the day before the confidence vote on Theresa May. I reread it again yesterday, and things have only got worse in terms of the incoherence, the instability in Britain. And as we know, we're much closer now to the date, the end of March, and the potential of a no-deal Brexit.
Yeah,
no, and I mean, like, the Department, let's be clear, the Department of Finance have said it, like, this will cost thousands of jobs.
Oh, sorry, I don't have an
argument
with you.
You know the agri-food industry.
Yes.
I would ask anybody out there, really, in their heart and minds, do they really think that it's in Ireland's interest that we would provoke a general election now and spend about 4 months join the campaign and also trying to form a government.
I'm actually not going to beat you up about that. I take the Sinn Féin's position, and I think, you know, given the gross uncertainty and even the potential of a crash out, that point is well made, whether let people agree or disagree with it. My question was slightly different.
You don't take the Sinn Féin position,
No, I don't. No. I take the view that a general election right now would be like a hole in the head. But there is the chance that Brexit could be resolved with an agreement on the withdrawal agreement, if it gets through, if Theresa May got her way, or if there was some modification, some codicil. It could be agreed by the end of March, or it could be agreed by July. My question to you is this. If Brexit was agreed, what is the earliest that you would be prepared to bring down the gun? The reason I ask you that is this. If you just take Barry Andrews' convention for the Dublin constituency, you know, he said afterwards, the overwhelming message during the husting was that it could not be sustained for much longer. And everywhere we're going, it's not just the soreheads like John McGuinness, Mark McSherry, Sean Fleming. There is a widespread view that you're just too soft with Leo, and that you've allowed it to go on too long, and the minute Brexit is over, you should review your options.
No, I mean, actually, I've been out and about as well, Ivan, and, you know, in Kildare last week with Fiona Loughlin and Frank O'Rourke the week before, and Pat Casey in Wicklow. And on the ground, you know, of course there's anger among party members in terms of how the government is not performing. People are angry at the fact that they can't get houses at an affordable price. They can't rent at an affordable price. I get that. Equally, they're very annoyed with the mess Fine Gael have made of health over the last 7 years, the incoherence of their policy and so on. People, I get that. But equally, when you talk to people in a conversational way, they equally get that you cannot provoke a general election or cause political instability in the middle or in the just coming up to a very critical period for Ireland in the form of Brexit. No, neither could you. And before I stay committed to what I said in the Dáil in December, you can't extend something like confidence supply on a piecemeal basis. You can't do it from month to month. That's not on, in my view. And I would also remind people that this time 3 years ago, we had the general election. The government has been in place about 2.5 years. I can recall a time when there was three general elections in 80, 81, 82, and I was a student at the time.
I stood in all three of them,
No political system should ever have to go through that again, and no country or society or people should, because it leads to poor policy and no sense of any decision-making in government. I think we need to keep this in some perspective. People will decide on these issues. People will decide on Simon Harris eventually. And that's where it should be decided.
Okay, what I don't
in
get,
terms of their failure okay, to deliver.
I'm intrigued by political strategy. And I totally get that you've played the long game. After what happened with the crash, you've said Fianna Fáil puts the country first. I get your entire strategy. What I don't get is how you're going to end it.
Well, I've made it very clear in the speech. We'll go to another budget, and I think after that, then.
So we could have an election in November.
I anticipate an election in early 2020.
January, early something 2020. Like that.
And I can't be obviously overly prescriptive of that.
Okay, no, I accept that.
And the point is, you know, it's not playing a game or a long game.
It has to end sometime.
But it's refusing to be reckless with our economy. It's refusing to be reckless. I think Sinn Féin have taken a reckless position. No, I saw them last night on your programme now saying, oh, we don't want an election at all. That's some hell of a U-turn. A month ago, they were calling on me to pull the plug and they were calling for a general election because they get it as well now. They're beginning to get that Micheál Martin's basic line is one that the people buy and accept, notwithstanding their difficulties with the government. And I don't know what's happening within Sinn Féin, but we had a very reckless articulation in terms of the PSNI this week by Mary Lou MacDonald. The real worry I have about that is we spent an awful lot of time with the Patent Commission, 50-50 recruitment. And unfortunately, the number of Catholics and nationalists joining the PSNI is declining. And her statement this week, I think, is very dangerous and reckless in terms of undermining confidence in a fundamental pillar of the peace process, which is policing in Northern Ireland. And her comments will be interpreted by nationalists in the wrong way in terms of whether or not they should join the PSNI. And I've met rank and file members of the PSNI who've said to me they're worried about recruitment trends of late in terms of that balance that we require within the PSNI. And the last thing we need is political parties trying to determine who becomes chief constable and so on like that. But there's something developing within Sinn Féin that's quite reckless, that's about creating chaos. They've collapsed the executive 2 years ago in the north. Do they want to do the same in Dublin in advance of the Brexit decision? And I think that's something that they need to reflect on.
Okay. Fine Gael are in power for 7 years. And a lot of people in all jurisdictions find it very hard to get a third term. And there is a great opportunity for Fianna Fáil. My question to you is, with the platform you have next weekend, and we've agreed there'll be an election within a year, more or less, what is the Fianna Fáil big idea? I get every opposition party has to bash the Minister of the Day and the National Children's Hospital over. But in terms of voting for you, as opposed to voting against the government, what is your big idea?
Well, our fundamental, and the fundamental difference between us and Fine Gael will be our focus on housing and on health. And both those issues, they have failed spectacularly to make inroads on. And the health service in particular is getting progressively worse and, you know, crisis after crisis after crisis.
We accept both are a problem. So really, what's your idea to do better? If you were Taoiseach, what would be different?
Because of the absence of any vision around health and any commitment to delivery in health. What you cannot do is what the Taoiseach did at His Ardèche. You can't promise 3 billion in an unaffordable tax cut at the same time and say we're going to deliver on health and we're going to deliver on housing.
I'm trying to give you an opportunity to say what you would do. Like, I'll give you one thing on housing. Just on housing. Can I just say this to you? And I said it to Dara because we had Owen Murphy in, we had Owen O'Brien and we had the other. Because we all agree, supply. Now, I would have thought There was a golden opportunity because, having interviewed the minister, I feel he's anti-developer. I feel some of the planning restrictions in relation to things like density and other issues in terms of infrastructural development, that actually they don't get it, that they're full of red tape in a lot of their schemes and so on.
Absolutely.
And I'm saying that Fianna Fáil has actually a history of understanding developers as opposed to being anti-developer. But I'm not hearing how you will build 50,000 houses a year.
Sorry, we had to put huge pressure on in this budget to get the affordable housing scheme underway. And you are correct. These ministers seem beholden completely to the system. They make announcements and they think that's the end of it. You know, Owen Murphy thinks a hard hat, photograph in the newspaper the following morning, that's my job done. The follow through isn't there. The same thing happens in health. You know, they announce many announcements,
but
many videos.
But I'm getting the criticisms. What would you do? In other words,
X, Y, or Z. We've already said it. Look, the compromise in the budget was a 300 million affordable housing scheme. If we were there on our own, that'd be much greater. And we would build more houses, build affordable houses on state lands for people at a price that they can afford. Likewise, in terms of public housing, we would not be relying as much as Fine Gael are on an undersupplied private sector where everybody's chasing the few properties that are there, from HAP to local authorities. They're buying houses in some areas at exorbitant prices and so on like that. And that's one big... And you're right about the bureaucracy. We tried it also in the budget and we've got some progress, but not enough. So, for example, local authorities up to this budget, any project over 2 million had to go to Dublin and had to be second-guessed by the Department of the Environment, and in many cases taking 9 months. Now, this is a national emergency, and we would remove a lot of bureaucracy.
But is there not a problem that some of your clothes have been stolen, insofar as if you look at the National Development Plan, if you look at the 2019 budget, actually we're spending about 4.5 billion more on health and housing, both capital and current. And to some extent, you can't turn around with a debt of 213 billion to say, we're going to spend another 4 or 5 billion.
No, but you've got to prioritise. And they haven't prioritised. And they haven't budgeted properly either. I mean, this must be the fourth year in a row where I believe they deliberately underprovided in health, knowing they would provide a supplementary afterwards. The problem with that is you're absent then planning and prioritising where the money should go. And that should all happen at the commencement of a year, not at the end of a year. And this year we were up to 800 million on the current side, not to mention the capital. And you mentioned the NDP. The problem is the government have been good at announcing projects for 5 years' time, 10 years' time. But they haven't delivered on the immediate ones that, you know...
What do you think is Leo's biggest failing?
Well, I think he has fundamentally, in my view, is the failure of delivery. The failure of...
Lack of attention to detail? What? Making civil servants do things?
It's
what?
Without question, style over substance, and they're not on top of the job. They're just simply not on top of it. They're not getting things done.
We have
When Cork, you've known the Cork Limerick motorway. How long has that been? He stopped that when he was Minister for Transport. He cut it. Now they've restarted it. But it's decades away the way they're going. We haven't got Dunkettle off the ground yet. Just my example, there's a lack of concrete focus on the immediate ones that need to be done. Go and do it.
Is there any other Cork projects you'd like to mention?
It's all over the country.
Oh, okay, let's talk about the forthcoming Euro and local elections. I have been predicting that Fianna Fáil will do well, might well stay the largest party of councillors. You had quite a good election last time, but in the Europeans, you ended up with, after Brian Crowley, no MEP. You have a great chance of 3 MEPs. What are the objectives in this election, and why is screwing Billy Kelleher?
Well, the first point is that we did do very well in the local elections the last time. We gained 50 seats and 22 of those went on to become TDs short period after that, in 2 years. And so the one point I'd make, that's 22 heavy hitters out of the local electoral scene this time around. So we have to consolidate those gains of 50 and then identify new seat gains that we can make across the country in the various local electoral areas. So at local electoral level, we want to consolidate and add.
But
you
still have
cohort.
The aim to be the largest party?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Okay. We want to retain
3 MEPs,
that position.
Would that be a good return?
I think 3 MEPs would be a very, very good return for us. We did take the eye off the ball, I think, the last time in the European elections. We didn't perform
as well
as we could
have. Now,
you
name-checked some TDs that you've been out canvassing with in Kildare. Who name check who you think will win an MEP seat?
I'm not going to go there yet because I think we've...
Well, Billy Kelleher clearly isn't one.
Well, Barry Andrews clearly has been. And that was a very invigorating competitive campaign in Dublin, and it kind of did really excite and interest the membership.
Well, you
Dublin.
Did a hatchet job.
No, we did no hatchet job. I mean, we have one member, one vote.
Well, your
now.
Favourite, Dunleary, former TD and minister.
Yeah, look, we've one member, one vote. The degree and capacity of front bench or
no,
leaders.
No, Sean does a very good job, Sean Dorgan. He gets even, the results you want.
No, even so, Sean would admit. Sean would admit.
Are we talking about Niall Blaney? And we're talking about Seamus McGrath?
I think Barry Andrews will be a very effective candidate in Europe. No, the letters have gone out. Just today and yesterday to have the convention in Munster. Now, I'm not going to, my views are well known in terms of my preferences in the past in terms of, you know, the type of.
But you prefer TDs wouldn't stand.
I'm not going there now. I think if the letters are going out, the convention begins, and I think it's fair to all candidates who are going in to leave
sorry,
it now
the
to
evening
the
Echo, you made it clear that the chance of getting two seats in Cork North Centre are diminished. So you're against Billy Keller?
I'm not against anybody, and I'm certainly not against people like Billy Keller who.
But you have a national election committee that's going to deal with this, don't you?
And they've now issued the letters to.
There's only one Cork candidate.
For nominations. Well, the constituency committee makes the calls on this. And I gave
so it's Micheál Martin democracy style.
No, I'm not on the constituency committee, but you know.
You don't have to be.
Every political party will have a Cork based candidate because of the size of the county in the constituency. That's logic. But they may make other decisions in relation to
and
that.
In
but
North
that's a matter
West?
For them. And in North West, they have yet to decide whether there'll be one or two candidates.
But
is
Brendan Smith, would you be against him?
The letters are going out now, Ivan, and I'm not going to at this stage because I'm conscious that it's a matter for the delegates who will convene at convention style to select the candidates.
Okay, we've discussed
that are optimal the party.
We've discussed
and the outcomes.
We've discussed campaigning. We've discussed policy and so on. And you've had a few cuts off of Sinn Féin. I want to put this scenario to you. I predicted in the last election that Fianna Fáil would get 45 seats. I could see the gains. I didn't see Kildare coming, but I saw other gains. I could see a scenario where Fianna Fáil could end up with 50 plus seats, 55 seats, somewhere that short of 60. And as you know, you need, in normal circumstances, around 80. And I could see some gene pool DNA people that you could bury the hatchet with, the Healy Rays and Matty McGrath and different people. But if Sinn Féin held the balance of power, could I put it to you that you could end up having waited so long to be Taoiseach and having this last chance, best and maybe only chance to be Taoiseach, you could end up like Trevor Sargent. Trevor Sargent said before the election, the Greens will not go into government. Well, they did go into government. You know what they did? They went in without him. He resigned as leader. Yeah. Could this happen to you?
No. That won't happen.
After the election?
I have far greater self-confidence in my judgment and in my leadership than you might have. Completely different scenarios.
So you might lead Fianna Fáil into government
with
Sinn Féin?
No. I think there will be many other options after the general election. We will not be going into government with Sinn Féin. But what's very important...
Under any circumstances.
I've said this 100 times.
If the electorate gives you a result that makes a stable government possible.
But the electorate can give us any result. We can't predict that now.
I'm not preempting that.
But you are. You're giving one specific, narrow hypothesis as to what could happen. There's many various scenarios could happen. Our preference, strongest preference, is to go into government with smaller parties after the next general election. That's the platform upon which we will be campaigning. And again, you did predict, I give you that, you're probably one of the only pundits that I think said Fianna Fáil would get 45 seats. Sorry, we got 44. But many other pundits never saw that coming at all. And most thought we'd be in the low 30s, including some of our own pundits internally within the party. So don't be surprised again if we exceed the commentators and the pundits in terms of their assessment of how well we will do.
But what I'm asking you is this, because I speak to other Fianna Fáilers.
And they tell me
that they want to put Fine Gael out of office, not unreasonably. And they would like to be ministers. They're not very happy. Timmy Dooley talking about broadband in the opposition is not worth a damn. You know, in all these areas, the fact of the matter is, Barry Cowan, he'd love to be a minister.
Of course.
If the circumstance presents itself that the party feels a change of getting Fine Gael out is in the national interest, and the only way they can do that, you just can't make up the numbers with Labour and Independence. Is it a case that you would resign as party leader before leading into government and providing the country with an alternative?
With the greatest respect, Sinn Féin have collapsed government for the last 2 years in Northern Ireland. They ran elections for Westminster. They didn't take their seats to vote, even though they take their offices and they take their expenses. They've demonstrably shown an incapacity to govern. They're all about electoral politics. They're not about governance. And also, you can see, even from the behaviour of the last while, since Mary Lou became leader of the party, it seems to me she's beholden to interests that are not elected. And she's not in charge or leader, really, in terms of her own. That's the sense I get in terms of what's happened since she took over. So I'm not going to be beholden to any cabal.
Well you've walked into
Belfast or elsewhere.
You've walked into what is the biggest internal criticism of people who would like you to be Taoiseach. They say Micheál is too nice. To be Taoiseach, you know the way Leo garrotted into Kenny and got to the top job. You have to be ruthless, and you lack that killer instinct that you may be quite happy to go through life not being Taoiseach. The fact of the matter is there's people in the party who will do whatever it takes, and you lack that killer instinct.
With the greatest respect, Ivan, I came... It became leader as a political party weeks to go to the election. We won 20 seats in that election in 2011. And
still in opposition.
I went the long road and got back up to 45. Party became largest in local government after 2 years. And, you know, you mentioned the long road, which I prefer that than the long game. And that takes a bit of steely determination and courage as well. I'm not into the melodrama about killer instinct and all that kind of stuff. And may I also say to you, there's nothing wrong with being nice in political life either, and life in society in general.
No, too nice. Too nice. The difference between nice and too nice.
Just a bit of melodrama around Leinster House or whoever you're talking to and so on like that.
Okay, but, I won't talk to John McGuinness or Mark McSherry or any of those people ever again.
Of course.
All right, my thanks. And I wish you well for the weekend. And of course, News Talk will have coverage throughout the weekend and well into next week of the Fianna Fáil Ardéis. It's happening in City West this weekend. Micheál Martin, thank you for being my guest.